This is the way I envision conducting this part of the meeting. It's pretty much open discussion, and we'll go from point of interest to point of interest. Let everybody say. I think everybody will have a chance to speak their mind. And I might remind you again earlier, by vote, it was decided that we had discussed enough to have a vote, and that's why we decided to vote. So you may not feel that we did have enough discussion, but at any rate, it was voted upon. But now we can have further discussion. It might just be for clarification. It might be for implementation. It might be for tweaking of what's been done and what how and suggestions on how we word it. If these things don't pass, what we want to see. And so all of your input is being recorded, and I'm sure the new board will weigh all of those factors, and then we'll have many more discussions. So, go ahead. Oh, hang on one second. Okay.
Just to qualify my thoughts for before I express my opinion. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know, but maybe most of you have heard that we lost our son on the ranch this year. Well, in December. And our life is different. Along with the bad, there's been good. I see far more clearly the important things and the non-important things. And the important things aren't really what we spend most of our life chasing. So some of that has been a blessing to us. I know this. We have six children. And that when there's contention in our home, we never find resolution. It's when we are able to have enough respect for our kids' opinions and our opinions that we're able to come to some kind of common ground, even if we don't agree with him, and he's still going to have a 3-inch mohawk and paint it red, white, and blue. I know the father of contention. I know the prince of peace. That being said, Sunday school lesson over. I kind of have a foot in two camps on some of the things that happened here. And I can tell that some people aren't happy with the way some things have turned out and maybe the way that some things went. But I just ask you, maybe under the spirit of peace, to maybe step back. As I did, I was one who voted for, I'd like more discussion before we vote. I was one of those guys that voted on that. It went the other way. Thinking, man, I would have liked to hear some. But on the other end of it, I was one of them who voted for the propositions and the ordinances. And I know some of the people didn't. And so I kind of weighing in two different areas here, but my point is simply this, is as I went back to turn the Dutch ovens and the coals and get you guys' dinner ready, it dawned on me that honestly, were we to have discussion before we voted, there's no way. I checked with Phil, I checked with other people, there's no way we could have changed any of the propositions as they were written. We had to vote as they are written right then. We couldn't say, just change this and then I'll vote for it. And I kind of wanted to say a couple of those things, or maybe hear a couple of those things. But the truth is, and I bet you agree with me, that the majority of the votes wouldn't have gone one way or the other had we had discussion. We can't change the ordinance, which is what I think kind of needs to happen, maybe some different rewording, but we can't change that from happening. So we had to vote yay or nay. I don't think anything really, a small percent might have could have been swayed one way or the other. But in the end, the results would probably be really close to what they ended up being to where we're now sitting now. And so my vote is to, if we love Deer Springs Ranch, which I do. This is sacred grounds forever to me. Let's try to move forward in a spirit of peace and not contention. Respect each other's differences of opinion and right to agree or not agree. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. You know, we've lost a few other souls this past year. Paul, ask Paul if he could come up with a list of names. Do you have anything like that?
The only one that comes to mind was Ken Land.
Okay. Remember Ken? Anybody else? Anybody think of? Over the last few years, every once in a while, one of us departs.
Jimmy Jordan.
The Jordans?
He's the grandpa.
Okay.
Just last year.
And so, anyway, as time goes by and we get to know each other better, whether we're on the same side of the line or not, we do grow a certain type of camaraderie, and I think that's great. And it's on one hand, having 300 different opinions is a headache. On the other hand, having 300 friends is a great deal. So I'm just really wanting to hear that. From what was just read out, I'm not sure that either of those things passed with the right majorities. Kind of sounds like they did not. But so anybody I guess I'll open it up to the floor. And again, this is open. We've covered all our reports and all the other things that we were supposed to, and now it's time for you to carry on with. If you want to express your feelings, that's fine. Can somebody, Paul, can you run back there and see if she's having very much difficulty? I wouldn't imagine this would be hard to come up with. Tell her we really would like that information. Yes.
I'm really not clear on who the new board is.
Okay, let's go over that again. Yes.
John.
Let's see.
Didn't you have that one spoke?
Are you at the list?
Yes.
Joe Bose, he came in with 125 votes.
Joe, you remember who Joe is? Everybody know Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
John Harris, 122 votes. Me, 120. And...
And Jeff.
109.
Oh, okay.
And so the other board members besides those, the ones that are already on there, I'm one.
So John's on the new one?
No.
No.
No, John is on the new one.
Yeah.
John.
John and Jeff are the new members of the board.
Joe, it was his wife from Kansas, right?
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see, Paul, did you find anything?
5 minutes. They're doing it right. They're recounting everything.
Okay. They're recounting everything, so they're begging for another 5 minutes.
Didn't they say that 226 ballots were cast?
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of them did not vote, though, for the proposition or not.
Well, would that make any difference?
Mark Brown.
Well, they're trying to, I guess they're having to look back through.
I think your bylaws say that.
Of all votes cast.
Of the votes cast.
Right.
Whether they vote
that's
on
true.
That or not.
Right.
That's true.
Make any difference. You take 226 and whatever the number is.
I agree with you. That's why I think it's ought to be simple.
Yeah.
So how many, did you write down how many votes were for?
122 for yes.
Okay, so...
On the water.
So
two-thirds, so it takes 150.
Okay, so that did not pass.
That did not pass.
And the other one was even a higher percentage.
170 votes would be required to pass the change to the protective covenants.
So it did not pass.
Okay.
So, Paul, go tell them, I'm not sure why they're counting the way they are, but...
Or just... I just wondered, too, votes cast, if they didn't vote on the back, is that a vote cast or is that not a vote cast?
It's not a vote cast.
If they elected not to mark that box, it's still a vote cast. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. So there you have it. We're back. I don't believe that we're back to square one. And so I think maybe a constructive time right now, if you have the energy or desire, would be for those that would like to make modifications or see something different. Now's their time to speak.
I appreciate the chance to speak at your places. We own a couple of lots here for that. First, I'll speak to the easement issue. One of the problems with the easement issue, the way it was written, is it... First of all, describes what an easement is, and in that sentence it also says including prior uses, so that means all the easements that we have been using, and then it goes down to say, and said easements are easements of DSROA only and not for private. And I think that was an unintentional mistake. But it essentially removes titled access away from all of our properties, and that's why I'm against it.
Can you explain what that titled access, that phrase means?
If you own a piece of property, and when you get a policy of title insurance on it to ensure that you own it, and you also have access to get to it, you need to have a private easement access in order to get to it, or a public access. It can't be... You know, something that's just the HOA's access. But I think your intent was to try to prohibit people from creating new constructed accesses. And so I would rather see something that was a language that said something like new construction on existing easements requires DSROA board approval. You know, that would, I think, get you at the same issue, but it wouldn't jeopardize any accesses or the right that I have to maintain the access that I have to my property. It would just prevent me from making a new access to it without running that by the board. And I think that was your intention.
I think so, and I think, but then doesn't it put the onus on the board? Doesn't the board then get put right in the middle and have to make all these decisions?
I'm just assuming that's what you wanted to do, and if you didn't want that, then I don't know why it was written the way it was, which says belongs to DSROA.
But we are all DSROA.
To clarify, I think I know what he's talking about, because I read it that way too at first.
Yeah.
What that whole easement sentence was about was the board only wants to be involved with approving or disapproving an easement when it has to do with DSRO business or from the association, not on private lots. We didn't want to have the board deciding between two different lots who could do what. Only on if it was a DSR uniform project. That's when the board would have to be called in.
So in that case, I'm not sure that even anything what you proposed made any sense, because that did vest the authority back to the board.
And let me point out one thing.
And
we are,
if
we
you
are
didn't
all,
want that, then you should be grateful it didn't pass.
We're all members of DSROA, but having something owned by DSROA, even though we're all members, is completely different than having it beneficially used by and owned by the members themselves. So keep that in mind. There's a huge legal distinction between having a nonprofit corporation own something, which only the board can approve use of, or having it available for use for everybody. And so some of the language like that just needs to be, I think, cleaned up and clarified so it's more consistent. There's already a huge body of law out there related to easements and access and those kind of things. I don't know that I think it would be helpful for some clarification, but I don't think that the association should be jumping in to try to reinvent the wheel where there's established, you know, when you can create an easement, whether there's a prescriptive easement, whether you, we don't want to be policing all that stuff. And so I think it's better that we pare the language back to where it's very clear that private property matters or private property matters and association matters, while the CCNRs allow the board and the association to enforce the CCNRs. Each individual also has the right to do that, and the language, the way it was proposed, takes that away from the individual, the right to enforce those protective covenants on their own without involving the board. So,
maybe this, I think you could form a, if you still want to modify that, look at, you know, forming a little broader committee to get inputs on, you know, what the suggested versions could be. And in regards to the water, maybe I
could I jump one thing before you hit the water and read that? Primarily, this is my fault. This whole issue evolved around circumstances around our law. So, chiefly, I'm very concerned about that. And so, I spent time talking to both sides of the fence on this issue. Guys who want this to pass, guys who don't want this to pass. And I was shocked to have everybody in agreement with the way that I felt, even though you might or might not want this thing to pass. I think everybody pretty much is on the same board on this. Both sides of the board members, the running board members that I talked to, trying to gather, you know, their feeling, because this was what I was talking about. I think everybody wants the same thing on this. It just needs to be written a little more clearly, and I think we can accomplish that.
Yeah, I'm oblivious. What was your situation that made them want to?
A long story. I'll talk to you after.
Well, my basically, I'm also a real estate agent, and so when you come in and you try to take something off of a title, and when you're granted 0.45 acre feet of water in a title, as well as your easements of utility only, you can't take something like that away from the person who had, they bought those 20 acres for that reason. They're owning that 20 acres, and they have a utility easement, but they don't have any kind of it other than anything owned, you know, for you as a homeowners association to try to take from them.
Nobody's taking anything.
Well,
you're going to try to control it. So control it.
The proposal would have said that the easements belong to the association, and that takes it away from the...
Well, the right to exercise the easement.
Right. And that right is currently vested
in the title
with the private landowners.
So,
I agree with Brad. There's an intent that we could get behind and try to have some language that offered that intent without taking away what we already have.
So let's identify the intent that we seem to agree on. The intent is that we want we want to be able to enjoy quiet enjoyment, whatever the legal term is, of our property. And we don't particularly want, like was the case here in his situation, a neighbor saying, "It's too hard for me to build a road around my place. I need to build a road through your ground. And since there's a 30-foot easement, that's where I'm going to come." And to me, I put a fence around one of my pieces of ground. And if there was a great big issue with erosion, or the board came and talked to all of us neighbors and said, "Hey, Phil, we'd like to put in this area a conduit or a culvert or something," that's okay. I understand that. I think the encroachment or the panic feeling I felt was, heck, any of our neighbors could decide It's just a little more convenient to use the easement on my side of the property line. And so, it's an easement. I can do it.
Yeah, but there's laws justifying that. When you just you can't build something higher than somebody else because you want to see over them. There's laws protecting. You can't divert water to where it's going to run into this guy's property.
Right.
Different. So when they bought that piece of property and the water ran through it like that, if they didn't get the inspection, if they didn't get the survey that told them that, then it's their own fault. And that's what the state says to you.
So the same thing if it's their own fault if they wanted to put a road around there because it was just easier?
You don't get to put it. It's not utility.
See,
it's not utility. Utility is power.
I don't think there's argument on the utility. I think there's agreement.
There's no argument on the utility.
There are also access easements.
No,
so are we in agreement that we what are we in agreement? That's what I want to try to find out. He says we're in agreement. I think we are in many respects. You say there's
I think first of all, are we in agreement that nobody's trying to restrict an existing constructed access that's already in existence and there's already been a roadway put in and nobody's trying to remove that.
No. I don't think anybody is. No, no.
Right. So, okay, that's great. We didn't do that with this language.
Okay.
So, and that's where I had the opposition.
What about the neighbor wanting to put his road through?
So now we're talking about another situation. Let's say a guy owns 20 acres, and he had that access into the west side of his property already, and he wants to get over onto the east side of that property. And he has the option of going around in his property, clearly, but he or she decides, well, there's this easement over here, and it does not have a constructed road on it now. Maybe even it's got a fence or some other things on it, like in your lot's case. Should that person be able to build on that easement now and come in over to this other corner of their property by building a road that has never existed?
And isn't that the situation that the Hunts had?
That is, and that's the kind of situation we're trying to exist. Now, as it currently stands, that person has the right to do that.
Which person?
The person who's going to build this new entrance.
As it currently stands, and I think that's what we want to correct.
Right, and so that's where we're kind of getting...
So are we unified on wanting to correct that part?
Okay. And to me, I would say even if I was this lot owner, I'd probably want to talk to these guys, explain it. If there was a lot of heavy opposition, I probably wouldn't do it, even though maybe I legally could. But how do we referee that situation?
That's right.
That's the limited situation that we're trying to deal with instead of what I described as all the other easements that we want to protect and preserve. And so that's why I suggested a simple language like newly constructed easements require something, agreement between the lot owners affected or something like that.
I have a question.
And I don't know, you know, some may say, well, I like that, I don't like that, but that's the narrow issue that you're trying to deal with.
Yes.
Just that, not all of the umbrella of all of these.
I think that's very true. Question.
My question is there or is there not already Utah statutes regarding real estate law? Is there something already law that doesn't have?
Yeah.
Can we just use that? Does that cover all the bases?
Well, current law allows for that person to build on that easement.
Utah law allows it.
Yeah.
Because it's declared as an easement.
And I'll point out, that's declared on an easement on a recorded plat and approved subdivision. I'm not sure that anything you're going to do in the bylaws is going to really remove that protection completely. You would probably have to actually amend the plats or do something more than just amending our bylaws. Yeah, state law would say
your title's recorded. You need to look at it.
That easement was recorded when this was platted, and it was recorded for the benefit of these different lot owners. Individually, they could choose to exercise their right on those easements. That's the way it is now. The question of this group is, do we want to keep it that way? And if the answer is no, there are mechanisms that might be as extensive as amending the plat. It would remove those easements or would allow some other restriction on those easements that required lot owners to, you know, get permission from one another else. So that's what has to be decided.
Thank you, Dirk. Well, it,
well, some of them are not. Some of the existing roads are not within that 30 feet. You know, they some run diagonally through lots or other things. So they're maybe a little broader than that. But they're also on the plat, and there's also language that basically says any of the constructed roads are, you know, legally. So we're I think just talking about this narrow issue, which is what about when somebody wants to put in a new constructed road?
Well, there should be compensation if you're going to use somebody's land. I mean, there's something for them. You have to pay them.
But do you want to be forced to do that?
By law now, and by the way it is, that would not be required. Just, you know, because that easement had been recorded already many years ago, and so just because somebody never constructed anything on it for all these years doesn't mean that they gave up their right.
The language does say, though, as per on the plot map.
Yeah.
So and existing roads, and if there's no existing roads, you're creating new roads. I believe that you're going against their intent.
We already decided that.
It could be, and so I'm just saying, if you're dealing with that issue, it needs to be dissected carefully and to say what's happening. Some lots do not have easements on all four sides. You know, some do. You know, when they were recorded, that's the way they were done. And also, you know, some lots have other easements.
So legally then, are you saying that we have a right to access our lot in a crisscross pattern of the checkerboard thing in any which way that
no.
we want to drive in as long as it's on an existing easement
oh,
that's
yes.
already written?
Yeah.
So if you have an easement going across your property, I, for one, could cut a road from my place and go up to Cougar Lane now and jump through whoever's property that I want to because now I don't have to drive around to go up to the meadow to check on the cow.
Right.
And I don't believe that's how the protective ordinance was written because that's not protection from anyone. And
well,
everybody has the opportunity to have their
It is how it's written. It may not be what we want.
Excuse me. Intent.
Yeah, but that's what's allowed right now. And so that's why I say that's a basis for wanting to make a change to prevent that from happening. But I think commonly speaking, when properties were divided back in the years this was done, it was a common practice to say, well, I'm not sure how the best way is to get into this lot, so I'm just going to create all these easements around all the boundaries. So, you know, that can be sorted out later, whatever is the easiest way. And I, you know, Dale can maybe tell us why and how and when they built roads, but some of the lots, I assume, were actually recorded before the roads were built. And so these easements were laid out in abundance, maybe in overabundance, so that there would at least be some way to get into all the lots. Now, over all the many years, the best easements have been developed, you know, and they stand as an existing easement, I think, on all of the lots. So, you know, we could go in now and say, well, if it hasn't been constructed, do we want to still allow new construction on these existing easements, and you could narrowly deal with that one issue.
I would like to just for the board's information, take a, if you understand that this narrow thing that we're all kind of in agreement on wanting to protect ourselves from this, I would like just a straw vote, just to see by show of hands, how many would like the board to proceed to try to tweak this into this common area of concern that we have. Would all of you that want to do that raise your hands, please? I think there's more than half that want to. So just as to how to do it, That's another question.
I think the point was brought up earlier about having a discussion before the vote. I think that maybe having a discussion and some proposals put out through email, whatever, of what the narrow scope is, so that we can all have some kind of agreement into what's going on before we actually come in and try to propose a vote.
You know, I just have to say, comment back to that. This information that we've been doing has been out there for about a month now. We put our phone numbers, our emails for anybody and every member to call and ask. And, you know, if we were heard from Dirk on, like, better wording for this, then we could have done it beforehand. But as Doug was saying, everything was already written today. It was already a matter of a long time putting that stuff together. So it is what it is. You put it out there, it either passes or it doesn't. Now we come back for discussion on it afterwards, because this discussion should have been happening the whole last month, not an hour before the meeting. And then we could have got this verbiage down to be more accurate, and then we can do it again and present it again. But I think it takes, you know...
I don't disagree with that, but what I'm trying to say is that putting it out there as a proposal, not a proposal to what we're trying to obtain... You didn't do that. You put it out as a proposal that we had to decide on yay or nay. So
we were hoping for feedback.
What you didn't do is allow us to have some input into what was, the discussion.
It's a bad time here. You've got
to get ready to start. Well, it takes us that long to put it together, too. So member input is good.
It was already on the ballot by the time it came out as a ballot issue. What you normally do is send out, this is a proposed rule change, and then you take comments, have a comment period, which runs in every city and every government entity. You have a comment period, and then after that you put together the proposal, taking into account all those comments that come in, rather than putting it on a ballot, which at that point it's a yay or nay vote. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's like, I guess, just board trying to get it done to get it done.
I think we all agree on that, don't we?
Yeah.
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 So spilt milk at this time. We'll move forward. We'll take these good suggestions in consideration and try to make that happen. So do we want to... Here, Stuart.
So if I can comment on the water issue.
Go slower, will you? We're trying to
wait. Okay, thank you. 6 years ago, I was the president of the Ranch Owners Association. And at that time, we were fighting the county on maintaining the Student Paw Road. You guys remember that? The county said, we're not maintaining this road anymore. We don't have title. We were fighting the county on, they rezoned us all to forest recreation, 20 acres. And if you didn't have 20 exact acres or more, you were denied a building permit. They had denied two building permits at that time. And how many of you have looked at your acreages and know that most all of them are 19.85 or something like that, because they were short sections here, and that when it divides down breaks out a little simpler. Many times I petitioned the county as the president to maintain the road, act like you assert your ownership over the road and take care of this road. I agreed with them on principle of their legal issues and what they're trying to challenge title on. I totally disagreed with them changing this out of agriculture zoning into creating this new zone that made 60% of the lots non-compliant. We got involved with the private property rights of Buddhist men, and we got some of those issues overturned. And at that time, I decided... this issue and several others, I needed to run for county commissioner. I could do more good for the ranch as a county commissioner than I could as a barking board president trying to get things done and being ignored. And so I ran for county commissioner, and I've been a county commissioner since. I was lucky enough to be successful at that. And from the day I've been a county commissioner, in fact, a few weeks before, we have been maintaining the Student Paw Road, and we've made improvements to it. We went through all of our land use ordinances, and we redid them all with the effort to maintain private property rights and to drive us back to constitutional fundamental principles so that we could enjoy private property and use them in our county. And I think that has greatly benefited the ranch. And I don't think that you feel a lot of oppression from the county on most things. Now, some things we, you know, struggle with. But we went to all of our boards and we said, if you're not here to help people achieve their desires and dreams, that's a problem, because that's where we're going. And we want to stick within the framework of our ordinances, and we want to obey all the rules and regulations and laws. But we want to have the bias that you're there to help things happen. And we had about 12 positions that changed in a three-month period, because some of the people said, hey, I'm there to control things. I'm there to prevent bad things from happening. I'm there to prevent growth in this county. And we just said, you know, those are not constitutional objectives. You can't have those objectives and be, you know, part of government. And so I think we've been largely successful at that. And I've always known that there was a certain amount of drama in the board, HOAs. I'm involved in several of them. There's always a lot of drama. But I always felt like that's okay. The cream will rise to the top, and they'll make best decisions for the cabins, for the fences, for the fish ponds, for all of these common assets. But I felt like when I crossed onto my own property, the only person I had to agree with was my wife at that point, largely, which means I do whatever she says. And the debate was over, and I could enjoy, I could have quiet enjoyment of my own property. I could drill a well. I could get together with two neighbors, and I could drill a well, and I could do whatever I wanted. There was no issue other than me complying with state laws, having water rights, going through all of these things. And so I can completely support that the association needs to have guidelines when I cross off of my private property and onto association property. For developing easements or developing common water resources, there should be some simple guidelines for that. But when it starts going into me and my three neighbors developing a well to share amongst ourselves, which I have plans over on lot 302. I've had well drillers up there. I've had discussions with my neighbors. I never involved any of the board on those decisions because they weren't board decision matters. Now this new proposal comes out that says if I do that, I've got to come before the board and I've got to stay within existing easements. I can't create new easements, even though that may be the most shortest and best pipeline alignment, and all of us three landowners might agree. There are things that say if I put in this system that I have to invite other neighbors to participate. And maybe I can't afford to invite other neighbors, or I don't like my other neighbor even. And so why should I have to work with everybody around me if I'm just trying to do my little system with me and my two neighbors? It said in there,
That wasn't correct, though.
It is.
That's not what was in the document.
Oh, I can read it right here in the paragraph.
No,
it says I have to reach out to...
That's if you're using an association-owned water source, not your own.
Okay, well, there's a paragraph in there that says if I've created a system and somebody in the future wants to hook up to it,
off an association's water source.
Off association.
I have to allow that.
Off association, not your private.
But it didn't delineate that.
I think it did.
It didn't.
Vance,
and
do you know
my problem
where that is?
Absolutely.
I think there were some good intentions in there, but number one, there's no variance ability. There's no ability for you guys to say, oh, well, that's not what we meant. I know that's what it said, but that's not really what our intention is. So we're going to grant a variance. So we're going to do something different. You didn't allow that within your ordinance or within your structure. So
I think
there were quite a few little traps that were set unintentionally that had far-reaching unintentional consequences that began to take away my feeling of what I can do on my lot. So like I said, I'm in support of some guidelines for developing easements and water use that affects association-owned property or association-owned water. I don't have resistance for that. But I have huge resistance for you to tell me where I'm going to lay a pipeline in between me and my neighbor if we are in agreement. and what I'm going to do on my property if I'm in compliance with state laws. And so there again, I think some a little bit broader input, which I tried to give many times during the year. And I think, honestly, I was flatly ignored because I'm related to this guy. Just my honest opinion.
You can pick your friend, but you can't use your relative.
And so, I mean, I just had that feeling many times. And yet, I've been a member of the Water Conservancy District in Kane County for 16, 17 years, and I've been in charge of all of their easements to take us from less than 500 connections to now over 4,000 connections. So I have a pretty good experience in this area. And I think I could actually help develop something that didn't infringe on people's rights that they have, but protected the association where there might be some need to do so in a reasonable way. So anyway, sorry for the long...
That's okay. I just like to read that one paragraph I think you're referring to. It says, construction of any neighborhood water system not completely within the confines of a member's lot or not within the confines of multiple contiguous member's lots may begin. So in other words, it's not within the lot, it's not within your neighbor's lots, it's outside, it's on common ground. There's either in the lots or on common ground, right? So that's a given. May begin only after state agency approval. So that's when it gets into you got to do these other things. It's not when it's in your own lot or in the lots of your own members.
Well, on the next page, you'll read that there are some things that go on to say about right there about where your thumb is. That if ever a future connection is requested, it needs to be offered.
That was from an association owned spring. And yeah, you're supposed to offer that, and that would be negotiable between the members that built it with the new party on how much they would charge them for that. But that was not...
I know that was the intention, but that's not the way I read it.
I have read it so many times.
You know what?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
So that's why, if you have a kid doing a paper for school, it's a good idea to have someone else read it that doesn't have a clue what you wrote, so they can ask the question and say, so you mean this, or you mean that, because the next person reading it doesn't know what you have up here versus what made it down on paper.
And I'll tell you what, though, it's funny about that. From working on that for so long and reading that so many times, I finally just thought, I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore. I set it aside for like 2 or 3 months. I said, go, you guys do the rest. I can't do it anymore. And then I had to go back and reread it 8 more times in the last 3 weeks just to get refreshed in my memory to make sure it made sense to me. Because, yes, you read it too many times and you're too involved with it, you can't get all the pieces.
So you can understand why we have questions if you had to read it 8 times.
I know.
I marked up all kinds of questions on it. And as clear as mud.
It does make more sense the more you go through it, but yes, it does take step by step. And
we're
always here to answer questions.
The intention of this, if I'm doing a water system on lot 302 with me and my two neighbors, would I have to comply with this at all?
The intent is the real concern is when it involves common ground or common water sources.
So I even sent you guys as a board that example and told you why I disagreed with things that nobody.
And that example.
No, I sent you on.
Yeah, we responded. Too. We responded to that example because you were talking about the proposal Dale was making, which involved common water.
I'm sorry you misunderstood that, because I clearly told you that it's water rights over in the other canyon. I know that it was very clearly understood because Vince did some research on what those water rights were, and never at any time did anybody come back and say, oh, this wouldn't even apply to that.
I think, Vance, would you answer that?
I'm not going to defend any of this. What I want to know is, do we have our final count?
Yeah.
Is this a moot point?
No, a long time ago, the final count, it didn't pass.
It did or did not?
Did not.
Okay. I was sitting over there in the wind and apparently I didn't hear it.
But Can we agree that the intent of this then would be only to deal with portions that went onto association property?
Property and or water.
So
not
mostly.
Not where you have drilled your own well on your own lot with your own neighbors.
Or how about if I drill a well over on the BLM 300 feet off?
Biggest problem is
going to
be with them.
Yeah.
I agree, but if I can...
How do you get the water? How do you get the water from the BLM to you?
No, I got my private water right.
No, but how do you get the water from the BLM position to your lot?
Through a Title V easement, which we've done several, Bill.
So you're talking... I'm not saying you couldn't do a Title V easement, but
yeah.
At some point in time, you're going to cross a ranch road to get to your property, are you not?
Not on case of 302. I would cross that 30-foot easement of a non-constructed...
Another lot owner, right?
No, I border BLM.
Okay. Then I don't see that as a problem.
Right. So I think if you had drilled into it some things that said, here's the scope. We're only trying to, again, what is that narrowly defined thing that we're trying to control?
Mm-hmm.
And if you, first of all, define that in your scope very well, this only applies to these conditions, okay, then we would start to find some agreement.
Seems to me that on the very intent itself, we already have agreement, a mutual agreement, a majority of at least agreement, again, on this issue, that we agree with the intent of what's on both cases on both sides already.
Well, I don't know if we...
There's a lot more to that proposition related to water
exactly.
rights and other stuff.
There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of other problems, but the intent itself, I think, is agreed upon by...
The intent as far as individual water not companies, but individual property owners, their own water system, the intent's good. On the other, I beg to differ that the intent is the same.
So can we agree, though, on the intent only being to deal with what's on association property and or an association water source?
And land.
And land or easements, association land or easements. And I think, now at this point in this meeting, I'm only talking for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to confer with the whole board. But my feeling is they feel this way. Our intent from the beginning was to protect access and the amount of usage of commonly owned water sources in such a way that future people might have access to it, that it didn't interfere with what was being it was being used for at the time, and recognizing that it was a commonly owned asset, not an individually owned asset. And that makes the whole situation entirely different.
Yeah, and I think if you deal with that narrow scope, none of us wants to go destroy an association asset. None of us wants to take an unfair advantage of an association asset. We don't. Do you disagree with that, Jody?
Yes, I do.
Well, she might disagree, but...
And that's where my comments are pretty flatly...
No, your comments, if I've ever gotten them, I've shared them with the group and the water committee. And many times I have had an opinion, but I've left it to the opinion of the water committee. But, not to pass the buck, but I want you to know I never put your things under the pillow, okay?
I appreciate that.
Your wife said I should ask that question.
Yes.
Okay. Out of curiosity, if you're not able to find water on your own lot, but you still have your water right from Deer Springs Association, where are we supposed to get our water?
So in other words, you don't have a well. You don't have.
I don't have a well. I don't know if we have a well. I don't know if there is any water to find.
Uh-huh. And maybe a professional said, ma'am, there's no water. Don't drill a dry hole there.
Quite
right?
Possible.
Okay.
So if that were ever the case for anybody, then where are they supposed to get their well? If you're worried about protecting the association water,
but yet if a part of that association water, they're protected and they're given right of your water rights?
Vance could talk to us about a water right and a water usage, but to answer your question, if I were in your shoes and that were the case, I would look to my other neighbors around, like Dirk's talking, and a neighborhood water situation.
Okay, well, there is no way a water situation for our neighborhood, but I don't understand all of that either, do I?
but there's also water hauling that right. A handful of members do.
Right. But, and then that's another question I had. If they're allowed to haul their water right, there's still an annual fee for hauling the water. Is that correct?
Well, we've gone back and forth of that. It does cost money to pump that. So you might have the right, a water right, or... But
and if there is a fee, does it go from January to December, or from when you pay to haul that year?
That's addressed a little bit in the rules and regulations, and we've struggled. And there is, I don't think that is truly, totally defined as well as it ought to be. Because right now, actually, there's just a handful of people that do that. But and if you were to try to haul 0.45 acre feet of water,
that's a full-time job.
It would be quite a job. But you're expecting the rest of us to pay to pump that water for you.
No. So, okay, but there is a fee.
Yes.
Is that 50? Okay, whatever it is. If I say in July, I need to haul water, and I pay my...
It should be paid at the time of assessment for the year, but...
Okay, so it goes from January...
Assessment to assessment.
Okay, all right. Well, that answers that one.
But you can, if you decide in July that you need to do that, then you can get on board. There's no.
I decided today that I needed to do that,
so you can.
My $50
well, wait.
Somebody.
We changed that.
But I'm getting the word that we right. Changed something, and I don't, well. I,
because of this 0.45 acre feet that came up that all the members are entitled to on their property, we have one person that is hooked up to this water system down here that pays that $100 a year. Because it's in the bylaws that we have the 0.45. We talked about this year and that we wouldn't charge for the occasional users, haulers, like if you come up here today and get water out of there, we're not charging for that because we're entitled to the 0.45 acre feet of water, and there's no way you can physically haul 0.45 acre feet of water a year, so why would we be charging for that? So right now, we kind of said there's no charge for that, only if you're hooked up to a water system, which down here, Rod Johnson is, so he does pay a yearly fee of $100. But for the water haulers that haul with their tanks going to the property, you couldn't get more than 0.45 probably a year doing it that way. So right now there's no charge for it. It's something that we still need to look at and address, but right now there is none.
I'll tell you.
I'm paying for the ability to use it. I'm definitely not going to use very much.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. And since we're allowed to have the 0.45. Yeah.
But if somebody comes with a tanker and loads up.
Yeah.
2,000 gallons of water, there ought to be a charge. That's the way I feel about it.
If there is a necessity for me to use it like that,
right now,
then I would
enjoy.
I think that was part of the discussion that I lost on back when.
I don't remember when. Yeah. That all came around with this, too. So.
Okay.
And I would say the bias that I would ask the board to respect is help solve this problem and make it so people can get out there and find what they need in the resources. The resources of the ranch are here to solve the problems of the members, not to be, you know, overly concerned with to the point where year after year we aren't even using the resources.
And the concern, I think, has been that, no, I think the common feeling is that on the board or past boards is, that's great to use the water. Where the struggle has been in how it's gone about at particular times, approval, non-approval, changes, non-changes, no plan, you know, and we're trying to make it so, okay. Yeah, let's use our resources, but let's look at A, B, C, D, Not that they are, like you said, restrictive, like you said about county government, but it'd be helpful.
Yeah.
That way we're helping people know what they're responsible for to do this, and to help them understand that and help them bring that about, but not in a helter-skelter way. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're trying to find, that's why we tried to define a way of application where you had to at least meet certain minimum stipulations or requirements to qualify, maybe, so to speak, but not to prevent them from doing that. And I think, for instance, we'll take Dale's efforts. I think hoping that this would pass, and I'm not saying something different will happen here or not, but I had to have had conversations with Vance. Well, I think now, you know, as long as Dale fits in these parameters, let's get this done. Let's get this water thing done. You know, it's like, let's get it done. Let's not stop it. Let's get it done. But we have to have a way of getting it done that everybody feels like they're being treated the same way. And it is unfortunate from time to time, Dale. I mean, I have ways of stepping on people's toes sometimes. Dale has ways of stepping on people's toes sometimes. And so emotions sometimes reign when they shouldn't. But in general, my thing is to try to make this so whether it's Dale or me or you, we can get it done. But we want to make sure it's done in a way that is somewhat uniform. And so that the next person comes along and it's pretty much the same way unless we need to tweak something. But we felt, I'll say we, I don't know who I mean by we exactly, but maybe this year's board and other people, that sometimes there's been a feeling of entitlement and I'm just going to, I can do this and I'm going to do it this way, I know best and I'm going to do this. And there's, that's where the helter-skelter, change of mind, play by the rule or not, kind of things start to seem to happen in spite of good intentions.
Well,
along that line, Phil, if somebody comes in with all the four or five government agencies approving, three sets of engineers approving, everybody approving, the board of directors approving repeatedly, and yet there's somebody on the board that has some other reason to block it, and that's what's really, in fact, been happening. The board should attempt to try to say, how can we help things move forward? Instead of a dedication, I will guarantee you it cannot move forward. This has been on your mail to you many, many months ago. With all of these approvals, and all the funding, and all the approvals of even the board, but it has hit a block that has cost all of us hundreds of hours of wasted time to accomplish 2 acre feet of water out of that 134 feet of water that's up there. If you will merely look at the material that's already been given to you, that should have been approved a long time ago, and it does not need to come back for one or two items. The T's have all been crossed, the I's have all been dotted, and yet there's a dedication that would say we still will not approve it.
All right. I've listened to what you've said, and I appreciate your opinion. This is my opinion. Dale? There's discussion. There has been discussion. There is has been before I was on the board. Well, first of all, I'll say, well, okay. Let me see if I can organize my thought, because part of what you say I agree with, and part of it I don't. And that's probably the way it's going to be no matter what. Now let me listen to you. I listen to you. Let me finish now.
Go through those items.
Yeah.
And get correct answers.
Okay. When I came on the board, there was a tremendous amount of frustration expressed to me before I got on the board and when I got on the board about numerous negotiations trying to, whether it be get a full-on plan of attack out of you, questions about when things were approved or not, as we talked about in terms of actual votes by the board. But anyway, all that's kind of spilt milk, but they had negotiated, and said, hey, and you would come back with this modification, they would come back with that, and trying to meet common ground. Not trying to stop you, but trying to have you meet certain guidelines. And you're a tough cookie to corral, in a way. Not meaning we need to corral you, but meaning we want to have an understanding that we can move forward with. And finally, you had rejected, I think it was, I don't know the numbers. How many?
Nine different
attempts at coming together on this. And finally the board said, okay, this is a problem. Dale, we can see that this is a problem. We're going to have to come up, not with your individual problem answer. We're going to have to come up, because other people are going to want to do this, with a uniform way of addressing this situation using common property, water. And Dale, over 3 or 4 years, there's been this inability to meet eye to eye on what you, and so you were given the ultimate, you were given 30 days to accept the last proposal. The board at that time said, we could, it's not ideal, but we could live with this. And you didn't, you rejected it. And so you were told, all right, we're not going to sit and negotiate anymore. It's too frustrating. And we're going to take the time now to get a standardized, well-thought-out way of dealing with this kind of proposal. And when it happens, you can be first in line. We'll welcome your application. We want to see that happen. But it's got to have to be within whatever we can come up with as the best guidelines we can figure out. And maybe we haven't arrived there. That's been, that was the, you know, there were plenty that voted for and those that voted against. It wasn't enough to make a bylaw change. The other reason we wanted to make it a bylaw change, for the very reason you talk about, this board thinks it's great. The next board thinks it's not. The next board thinks it's great. The next board thinks it's not. We wanted to have these guidelines implemented into our covenants or bylaws so that each new board can't take us all back and rewrite the whole thing. We all have feelings. You've been president of the board a few times. I've been president of the board before. We get things moving along, and then the next board comes in and changes over or rescinds or, you know. And that's the hard thing with an association. And so the goal is to come up, was to come up with something good, get something the members felt was good, and put it in our documents so that the next board, which may be biased to a certain individual, maybe, and people, let's be frank about it, people are worried when you try to get all your relatives on the board. It's just like, it's not that they don't like you, but they want a little bit of balance, okay? And so anyway, Dale, that's been part of the problem as I saw it as I came on the board. But I've been very vigilant trying to not have individuals, just for the sake of the fact that you were proposing it, turn it down. I've really tried to stick up for you or anybody else. I wanted to make it fair for everybody. I've really tried to do that. And I didn't achieve it successfully enough, evidently from the vote, you know, that these things didn't pass. So we're back to, but I think what we've today and through this process, we've kind of defined these niches or these narrower areas that we might be able to move forward on.
Would you please just keep in mind when there is a reaction because it is stale, that he's trying to help our neighborhood water?
Oh, I totally know, and we want your neighborhood water to have your neighborhood to have water. And frankly, I know we were all rather excited, hoping that we had this uniform way that we could use, and it anticipated Dale being the first on the list to get this done and get it done. And so now we'll have to look at what we think is best, take more input from you, and try to get it done, you know. But I promise you, I have not tried to block, purposely block, just because of a relationship or Dale. Dale and I have been around here for a while. And although sometimes Dale gets under my skin, it's true, once in a while, not too often, but once in a while, I still don't let that, as far as what I think is fair and equitable for all of us, I don't hold a grudge, or I don't say, no way, you know, this is coming from Dale. No, I don't do that, Dale, and I think these guys on the board would vouch for that. When we have discussions, I don't. I try to say, well, we need this to be for everyone, and that's my intent.
I just want to mention many of the complications with Dale's original proposals had to do when he was trying to design a system that would be a ranch public water system that would provide water, future water to other lot owners, future water to the upper cabins, things like that, which have a lot of inherent complexities beyond what most of us are trying to do with this neighborhood system. More than a year ago, Dale and us that would participate abandoned that plan. And we simply wanted to deal with, we're trying to get some water on these four lots that we own. Maybe five.
Five.
And all we need is an easement and to take 2 acre feet out of 134 acre feet water source. We'll make sure that we do it in a way that meets all the state ordinances for spring box collection, all those kind of things. To me, I just absolutely struggle with where the huge dilemma is if we are trying to just deal with that narrow scope of easements on association property. You know, we might have revegetation criteria, we might have, you know, certain criteria of water resource issue when we're talking about 2 acre feet from 134. You know, no brainer. And I know that you've got other issues, like Jody in your area with leaf spring. The reality is you've got 30 lot owners that would maybe like to have a future plan there, but you have a water right that may only satisfy 6 of them. So do you not satisfy 6 in favor of, because you can't satisfy all? And that's kind of a big dilemma that is a little bit harder thing. But I would vote it would probably be better to satisfy 6 than none, just because you can't do all 30. But that's not been the case on Dale's system. It, to me, has been very simple, and I'm absolutely certain if it would have been approved, none of us would see any negative effects. And
no.
Life would have gone on in a very normal way, but we have dug our heels in. Well, we need more time, we need this. And frankly, we've been prevented from putting it on board agendas. We've been prevented from having
discussing face to face with anybody. And I think that atmosphere has been super helpful.
I need to comment.
Yeah, but let's not get too adversarial, but yes. No. And then I expect Vance. I really want Vance to weigh in a little bit on some background and some feelings and intentions.
Yeah. The difference between that time, Dirk, and working through the issues that we've worked in is you're looking at an immediate deal now, whereas we're trying to look at future deals for how is it going to affect the person 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that want to have access to that water. If it was just a matter of, like, when you were president of the board, and I asked for, when the four of us asked for Elise Springs, whatever, develop it, you told me to go out and canvass the neighborhood and see who else wanted to go on there. That's a great idea. That should be done. So, yes, what you're saying there is right. If it was just a one-time, do-it-now kind of a deal, but we're trying to look in the future and say, okay, yeah, that'll work right now for this one particular project, but what about the neighbor that comes in 5 years from now and wants part of that? What about anybody else? There's a lot of acreage behind there, a lot of lots that could participate or want part of that in some part of the history or future. So that's where we were concerned, not with just what right now, but what's going to happen to the future neighborhood and those people. So that's what took it to a deeper level. Nobody's digging heels in.
And I've suggested that you should hire an engineer. And we as the Water Conservancy may even help participate in, there should be some study of the whole ranch to say what would be the best way for each of the lots to eventually receive water. And how could they cooperate together in doing those kind of things. But, so I'm all in favor of long-term planning. But we didn't spend that year to do long-term planning, in my opinion. We're no further ahead after the end of that year. And we'll be 10 more years right where we are with that same kind of effort. Unless we get together and talk more, and we really decide what the real issues are that we're trying to solve, and we address those narrow issues, we're going to just keep kicking this can down the road.
Yeah, you know, we've been through that together for 4 or 5 years, too, so we have tried that. And I think we need to do more of it, but
there's only so many people. Your well has to produce so much water and have so much in order to tie on so many people, correct? Or can you just, I mean, in Iron County, you can only put 3 people on a well.
Yeah, only 3 to have a private system, and that's a state requirement.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's not required here. I thought you were asking, do
we require? Oh, okay, because I was like, in Iron County.
Yes.
So we got a lot of interest. Let's fix the damn thing. All right? We're all here. We got some feedback today in the form of a vote. All right? We've got people. You know, some of us, for whatever reasons, we stopped talking. Shouldn't have stopped talking. I'm sitting here sort of ignoring them all. Well, obviously, I had a dogging fight, but I'm not going to over what happened. But I completely agree with you. We're having pretty good discussions. So we put out there is lacking something. Fair enough. You know, are we going to toss it aside and go back to the old status quo? I hope not, because nobody wins when that happens. I did get, just in, you know, me sitting up there with my stuff, I got another. Dirk raised the question of adjacent lots, like he did with you. I got that same question from somebody else from a completely different section of the ranch, so it's not just a made-up concern. Could that have been handled better? Probably. But the big problem is that we talk about this and we get a bunch of people together and then it all evaporates. Nobody stays in touch. Nobody keeps talking. We wind up with 2 or 3 things we work on as we go. Well, are they gonna vote this in or are they not going to vote this in? And we kind of wind up at the spot where we've got to throw it up and see if it'll fly. I guess we did. So, can we fix it? I think so.
Well, I think the input's important to be able to
discuss and not to be adversarial at all. I sent a few letters offering to help and to participate. I've done a lot of these different documents and putting together hundreds of subdivisions as far as the easements go, as far as water, and I was told we don't want member participation at this point. So whereas the, you know, trying to put forward and communicate was basically blocked and say, no, we're going to work on it. We'll let you know when we're done. So if we're willing to communicate and be open to communication, I think there's lots of people that will participate and put forward their concerns and their take on what there is. I think it would be a shame to throw it in the garbage at this point.
Right.
I think there's some things that can be done to make it fit to address the concerns of the foreseeable future and give everybody a comfort level so that they can say, here are the rules, you can read them. It's very straightforward, and it's in plain English so that anybody can understand. And I don't think there's anybody that has any opposition to having a set of rules that are reasonable, as long as they're not overburdensome as far as expense and involvement, but still protect and take care of the concerns that I have in relation to use of the common area and that kind of stuff. So I think you've got to open the channels of communication and move forward. And I would propose that we take the existing proposal you've got and we redline it and come up with suggestions to send those to the water committee and have them review it and then get feedback. We don't like this because this and that and the other thing. And
because is very important and has been lacking.
Well, I think on both sides, and I go through contract negotiations and having 9 drafts back and forth is not even scratching the surface in a lot of these things. And I know it's frustrating for the board members because it's not like you're making a bunch of money, you're spending a lot of time and committee members and that kind of stuff. But that's what you're there for, is to go and try to figure out. And it doesn't mean you roll over, but at the same time, we've got to work until we can find some common ground and make it a solution that everybody can live with. Nobody's going to be completely happy, but it will work.
Let me just give you guys a brief history. This started in February 2011. Dale came to the board and put a resolution down, and he says, I want to develop Meadow Canyon Springs as a water service. I was on the board at the time. It was a 6-1 vote. A 6 in favor, I was against. I wanted 2 things from Dale. I wanted a contract. And I wanted a plan. That's all I wanted. And I was very simple at the time. My plan could have been drawn on a napkin. I just wanted to see where the pipelines were going to run through the meadow. And the contract could have been as simple as Clarkson Investment LLC will restore the meadow to the best of their ability. That's all I wanted. And it got complex from there. This vote here right now, when we started talking about this, the vote was simply to have the membership agree to allow Dale or anyone to develop a ranch water source. That was, you know, yes or no, but it got complex. And it got complex. I'm not blaming Dale. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming anyone else. But you start communicating with us, we don't know, so we get an attorney. And then it gets complex. If we have normal people sit down, and in our defense with Dirk is some of the information that we got from you was great. It was just too late. Some of the stuff was already out for the vote. If we sit down, we can come up with a reasonable solution. I'm totally in favor of developing ranch water association water sources for neighborhood systems. I'm 100% in favor of it. The only guideline that we initially wanted was we wanted to make sure that it was developed properly. So all of a sudden, down the road, we knew who to go to if we had a pipeline break. You know, it wasn't going to be the association's responsibility. And then it got complex in saying, well, maybe the association ought to own it. And I don't want to own anything. I want to own lot 117. And I tell everybody the same thing about lot 117. I don't want anybody bothering me. And I tell them, if you're offended by nudity or nudity, don't come to lot 117, because I might be riding my bike naked. Okay? And so I'm all for us fixing this thing but let's not stop communicating. And let's do it in a reasonable fashion. And then let's do the one thing that I've argued with you for 14 years, Dale. We need to learn how to compromise. This much. And if once we do, once we can compromise on some of this stuff, guess what? We can solve this problem. So this is not written in stone. This is, you know, we're not down here chiseling it. We got a guideline. We started out with nothing more than us wanting to have the membership give permission to you or anyone else to develop an association water source. That's how it started, and it got really complex. So,
and the cooperation is very quick and easy to come by. And following through with what was said, Mr. Green made a beautiful map as to the drawing that you needed. But a lot of these things have been done. Once that got done, then somebody said, oh, in addition to that, now we want you to do this. Or in addition to that, we want you to do something else. All these requirements are very easy, and we can agree with it in a matter of minutes.
That's the thing is with guidelines, then it's no longer a moving target. You have here are the four steps. You've met the four steps, and it's not up to somebody to make up some a fifth step. So I think, I mean, I know there's a lot of history here. I know there's a lot of frustration. I don't pretend to have been involved in it all and spend a lot of time on it. Quite frankly, as I said in a couple of letters, I couldn't care less what happened before today. I think we've got to look at what we can do from here moving forward to solve the problem, keep things simple, keep them in plain English so that everybody understands, and get something done rather than continuing to circle the ring and see who's going to throw the next punch. So,
okay, let me bring some resolution to this a little bit, if I can focus it. There's a lot of history. The best way to move forward is to say spilt milk, and let's move forward. And I like the offers of participation. I mean, I think we have two principals right there, Dirk and Barry. We have Vance. Jody is the one that would report to me. Frankly, I don't want to be involved in it myself personally. I mean, I'll review it and see if I think it's equitable and fair. But the mechanics of it and all the water little ditty-gritty things, I want the water committee. And if you guys want to be on the water committee, do you have any objections to that, Vance?
No, not at all.
I don't think Vance does.
No.
Do it. My thing is, do it.
I mean, Dirk was honorary water committee sort of person for a long time.
Got it.
Well, he has a lot of background that I think can...
Oh, no,
It was against my objections.
And so I would like to retain. I would like to retain Vance Green as the committee chairman to the board. Under
the chair has to be.
Huh?
The committee chair has to be a board member, and then the committee goes underneath that.
Okay. So you can be the committee chair, and Vance Green is the.
Board members right here. I don't know
what's coming this way. Assistant chair.
You're the assistant chair, or you are the member. You are the member chair. She's the board chair. You're the member chair of the water committee. Okay, and you have.
I'm the all-purpose punching bag.
That's right. You have these two guys on your committee with you. Anybody else feel strongly they want to be on that committee?
Brent. Oh, Paul.
Being a certified water master,
I think you can be on the committee as an advisory role, but not in a voting role.
I have. I've kind okay. of just kind of given my two cents, and that's really all I'd like to do.
Okay. Well,
I
think
don't
know
there's if I'd like a full-on position, but
you can be a go-to advisory an advisory role.
Right.
But as members, I want the members to be in charge of this, and they can call upon you as needed.
I'd like to be on it.
Okay, can you put him? Yeah. Tell her your name.
Mark Rowley, R-O-W-L-E-Y.
Okay. Okay. I think that's enough. We don't want to get it to be too big. You guys email between you. Red line.
Get with you.
Cross off. Do whatever you can. Let's not have this linger.
Get some water.
It's painful. That's my admonition to you, and I appreciate it. Are we ready to adjourn yet, or is there any burning issue that anybody has?
Burning issue's burned out about 2 hours
ago. I think so. All right, I will entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll second that.
Who would like to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Dale moves we adjourn. You second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So be it.